Genesis chapter 47 from the World English Bible. Then Joseph went in and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brothers with their flocks, their herds, and all that they own have come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." From among his brothers he took 5 men and presented them to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" They said to Pharaoh, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and our fathers." They also said to Pharaoh, "We have come to live as foreigners in the land, for there is no pasture for your servants' flocks. For the famine is severe in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, please let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen." Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, "Your father and your brothers have come to you. The land of Egypt is before you. Make your father and your brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen. If you know any able men among them, then put them in charge of my livestock." Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How old are you?" Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. The days of the years of my life have been few and evil. They have not attained the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." Jacob blessed Pharaoh, and went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Joseph placed his fathers and his brothers and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. Joseph provided his father, his brothers, and all of his father's household with bread, according to the sizes of their families. There was no bread in all the land, for the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the grain which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. When the money was all spent in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in your presence? For our money fails." Joseph said, "Give me your livestock, and I will give you food for your livestock if your money is gone." They brought their livestock to Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for the horses and for the flocks and for the herds and for the donkeys. And he fed them with bread in exchange for all their livestock for that year. When that year was ended, they came to him the second year and said to him, "We will not hide from my lord how our money is all spent, and the herds of livestock are my lord's. There is nothing left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our land. Why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants to Pharaoh. Give us seed that we may live and not die, and that we won't be desolate." So Joseph bought all of the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for every man of the Egyptians sold his field because the famine was severe on them, and the land became Pharaoh's. As for the people, he moved them to the cities from one end of the border of Egypt even to the other end of it. Only he didn't buy the land of the priest, for the priest had a portion from Pharaoh and ate their portion which Pharaoh gave them. That is why they didn't sell their land. Then Joseph said to the people, "Behold, I have bought you and your land today for Pharaoh. Behold, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. It will happen at the harvest that you shall give a fifth to Pharaoh, and 4 parts will be your own, for the seed of the field, for your food, for them of your households, and for food for your little ones." They said, "You have saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my lord. We will be Pharaoh's servants." Joseph made it a statute concerning the land of Egypt to this day that Pharaoh should have the fifth. Only the land of the priests alone didn't become Pharaoh's. Israel lived in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they got themselves possessions therein, and were fruitful and multiplied exceedingly. Jacob lived in the land of Egypt for 17 years. So the days of Jacob, the years of his life, were 147 years. The time came near that Israel must die, and he called his son Joseph and said to him, "If I have now found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please don't bury me in Egypt, but when I sleep with my fathers, you shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place." Joseph said, "I will do as you have said." Israel said, "Swear to me." And he swore to him. Then Israel bowed himself on the bed's head. Howdy, everybody. Welcome to Reading Heathens, your unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
Doing swell.
Doing really
great.
I got actually something I haven't told you guys in this podcast and we've been doing today. I had some wonderful Thai iced coffee. I've been real jacked up this whole afternoon.
Well, that's great, Daniel. You're going to need the energy because we are re-recording this episode after my many technical difficulties.
Well, listen, it's been recorded history on this podcast that Adam's the problem here, and we get many emails saying that Daniel's the star. We want more Daniel. And get that Adam out of there. And I think it's just that's what the universe is doing, trying to kick old Adam out. We're hearing your voices.
I fully agree, and I apologize. I'm gonna do my best to make it up to you, Daniel. Over the next few episodes, I'm gonna change things. All right. No. Luckily, to help compensate for my total lack of charisma is our friend Colin. How you doing, Colin?
Hey, boys, Bible boys, how are you? I'm back. I record my podcast with three other guys. We haven't stated officially on the record which one of us is the screw up. I would like to say it's not my equipment. I'm putting that out on your guys' podcast so that your listeners know. It's those other three idiots' fault. It's never mine.
Hey, you know what, Colin? I'm so good at ruining podcasts. I even came on and tried to ruin one of the episodes of your show.
Listen to it, normies. It turned out great. Adam for Star Wars week.
You can not hear me on the Rise of Skywalker episode where Mike had to cut around my empty audio for 30 minutes.
Just for a little bit. It comes out good.
Well, look, and this one's going to be great. We're going to take a little snippet from the archives we did, maybe. It's going to be wonderful. This is awesome.
Yeah, this episode, or this chapter, rather, of the Bible is a fantastic one.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a good one.
We get everybody from Israel, the tribe of Israel, or the tribe of Jacob. I keep saying tribe because it refers to the 12 tribes of Israel at some point. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the correct way to refer to groups of people in 1700 BC is.
Well, they call it like groups of their kind or according to their kind, like all the people according to their kind. Like that's just kind of how they put it.
That must mean tribe.
Tribe is good. I mean, sometimes they call it a village. Sometimes they call it, other things.
Colin, something we already asked you on the now lost episode of the podcast, which is, something that fans will bemoan for decades to come. We asked you what your religious upbringing was, if you had one.
I am happy to say it again. It follows the very white trajectory as I keep bringing up. I know that seems like I'm being offensive there, but I just mean that it's a very normal, very standard, very suburban upbringing. Roman Catholic mom, very big Italian family, Jesus very important to them. Literally little statues of the Mother Mary all over our grandparents' place.
Oh, that's rad.
And then, meanwhile, my dad, WASP, a Protestant. So truly, they just came together and said, what's the closest, Christian church? We went to St. Maximilian.
When I was growing up, Catholicism and, the Catholic faith, it was literally just something I saw in movies and television. I knew no Catholics. I knew nobody who even, I knew a couple Lutherans, maybe. And that was about as Catholic
as it went. Yeah,
maybe,
but it was a lot of, Italian face, a lot of people doing stereotypes. Or maybe Irish Catholic, too, but a lot of, oh, Mother Mary, when I pray to you over this pizza can. And you're like, well, what are these people talking about? But that truly was my grandparents putting rosaries on statues. And it's like, oh, I don't know about any of that.
Oh, you didn't like it? My best friend was the only Catholic in town, and I was so jealous of, the iconography. And I really wanted a rosary. It seemed like I should have dual pistols and a rosary.
There was something about, I remember telling people as a kid, I want to either be a priest one day or an assassin. For some reason, the two seemed very married together. So I get that, man.
You can either take people's lives away or ruin their childhoods.
Absolves them of their sins. But my last big point as a child of pop culture, I brought it up to you guys before, but it really sunk into my mind. The only thing I liked about going to church, or the only thing that I'd really stay awake for, I should confess that pretty early, was the readings and then the gospel according to Christ, which was literally when the priest just gets to go, okay, so like, what do you think about this story? What do you think about this like episode of TV I'm about to tell you about? And then by the end of it, I'll say, so here was the moral. And I'd say, oh, wow, that's really cool. But then finding out at like 13 or 14 that your parents believed all of that stuff, like they thought it all happened and it wasn't just a comic book.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's tough. Is one kind of, I got, cause we start reading the Bible and we talk about it the way we talk about it. And I forget a lot of times about like the reality of like, you know, what's going on. And I actually finished Genesis, kind of reading ahead and actually prepared for the show. And at the end of the Quest Bible, there's a map, and on the map, there's two little blobs, and it's like Eden ? Over here. And then it's like Eden ? Over here. And it's like somebody made a map and they're like trying to decide where the Garden of Eden is. And
then I like, find it.
I never think of it in those terms of an actual place, but somebody's making a map. There's a cartographer out there trying to
find
Eden.
What that would mean at a certain point, like Adam and Eve's bones were in the ground. So obviously that there's been different cultures and stuff, but did those get dug up to put down a McDonald's at a certain point? Like, whoa, you know, what is the real history of this all?
Well, I always love it when National Geographic Channel like digs up some humanoid from thousands of years ago and they're like, this is Eve. They've done it like four times.
Could these be angel wings that we're spouting out? Tune in next week. And then they'll also have like the science, or you know, the Ancient Alien program on right after it, and you're like, well, History Channel, I just don't even know what your standards are anymore.
Well, maybe they'll have us on with our expert knowledge of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 47, last week we got some of Jacob's perspective. Now we're back to Joseph dragging his family around. He shows him off to Pharaoh, or he shows some of his favorites off to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's like, what do you guys do? They're like, we're shepherds.
And he's like, gross. Good thing you guys are living over there. Maybe it'll work for me too. Another thing, because Jacob goes up in front of Pharaoh, and we finally learn that Jacob is 130 years old, which was exciting. People still
we were talking about ages last episode. We were also talking about why people don't like shepherds. This adds to the credence of you reading from the Quest Bible, that little definition of the handling animals is maybe bad, because he instantly goes, oh, you guys are shepherds, you're gross. But if you want to work like with my animals, with my livestock, sure, go ahead. So was there really just this like, well, I'm not going to touch my cow, like then I can't go to church?
Well, Pharaoh loves to give his duties away to other people. Like he almost immediately made Joseph in charge of everything, and then he just hangs out. And actually,
my kind of guy.
All the Egyptians we've met have done that. The first person that took Joseph as a slave was just like, "Ooh, good, Joseph will do all this," and got fat, and his wife, you know, got the hots for Joseph.
Yeah, some of the Joseph chapter or the Joseph story you may have missed is when he was a hunk working in a tract and his master's wives.
Oh, not a crybaby. Yeah.
Well, I think he did cry when someone tried to sleep with him. He was like,
yeah. Ooh, I'm banging this wife.
Yeah, 100. But he does say, like, it's not the years, it's the mileage, essentially. He says that he's lived a short time at 137. Yeah. He's like, I get it. I look terrible. It's because my sons have caused me so much grief.
My sons have made me so. Jacob, he's like a tractor. You know, you don't base a tractor's worth off its miles. You base it off its hours ran, you know. So, you know, he's more of a sitting, you know. He's got a lot of hours on that tractor.
Yeah, and Joseph's the sexy tractor.
Well, then the chapter takes a little bit of a turn. We, you know, the family's safe. The family's in Goshen or whatever it's called.
Gohan.
And we get back to the famine, and it's still happening, full force famine time. And the people of, I guess, the rest of the world, we're supposed to understand? Is that what we're supposed to, like, it's everybody?
Everybody's coming and dropping their money off at Egypt, trying to get a little bit of grain. And come to find out, Joseph's divine plan of saving a fifth of what they grew every year for 7 years to feed them during the 7-year famine that was going to starve the whole earth, it didn't pay off. At one point, when they were storing grain during the prosperous 7 years, they lost count. They were like, it's too great to count how much grain we have.
Counting, guys. I'm sure it's a manageable amount. No, it's not.
You take the small containers, put them in bigger containers, and then count the bigger containers would be my suggestion.
Well, all right, Adam, I'm freeing you from slavery. You just came up with the best idea we've ever had here.
Yeah, I should rule a whole kingdom.
It's like, hold on a minute. Can you interpret dreams also, Adam? Like, because if you can.
Yeah. Has the Lord ever spoken to you?
Listen.
Maybe.
So the people are starving, and there's this fun, like, back and forth that happens, and I love how the Bible writes it out. But essentially, the people come, they give Joseph all of their money, they eat up all their food, they come back, hey, we don't have any money, great, give us your livestock, cool. They eat up all the food they got from that trip, and then they come back and they're like, well, no more livestock, all we have are, let's see, land and I guess us as people. So they get sold into slavery real quick by Joseph.
Yeah, well, they do ask for it. They do say, we're dying. The quote in my Bible is, buy us and our land for food, and we with our land will be servants to Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, and that the land may not be desolate. So they haven't been doing a good job of storing seeds to replant the land, because at that point, this is what they're getting is just seed to plant new crop.
Well, and then they get turned into sharecroppers real quick. And then now they got to pay a tax to, after this 7-year famine's going to be over, they're going to have to keep paying a fifth of their stuff to Egypt. And pretty much like Egypt now owns everything forever.
And let it be known that Egypt is greedier than God. He's asking for a full 20%, not that 10% tithe.
Yeah.
Come on, Pharaoh. But this is what our hero comes to, who we've been following as the savior of the land and God's favorite boy. Here's his big speech in the chapter. Behold, I have this day bought you and your land for Pharaoh. Now here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land, and the harvest you shall give a fifth to Pharaoh, and 4/5 shall be your own as the seed up for the field, and as for food yourselves and your households, and as food for your little ones.
Yeah, not a lot of protagonist triumphant moments involve them buying people.
No, I do want to see that in the Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Yeah, him buying people.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's like the sultry jazz number, where he's like, I own you all now.
And then I bought a bunch of people. Whoa.
Now we are enslaved to Pharaoh.
I think we got a hit. We should start our own Christian music group. I think.
Oh, 100%.
I want to be one of those Christian music groups that use it to get a little bit of success, and then they realize that they're rock stars, and they're like, by the way, we're not Christian, and then their album sales drop. Like, yeah. It's like, dude, nobody would listen to your music if they weren't stuck listening to Christian music.
Yeah. Did Good Charlotte start that way? Were they a little Christian rocky, right?
I don't know, but I know Papa Roach did. No, I'm joking.
Oh, sure.
No, I don't know about Good Charlotte. The ones I think of are POD. Mm-hmm. I know they were
Creed.
Creed, loosely, yeah, and Reliant K. Yeah. But
I was gonna say Reliant K. That was the one that was good. Yeah, exactly. They stayed to it. I mean, very hard.
They did until
the early stuff. It was like
they stepped away at one point, and then they disappeared. They were like,
oh wow.
They lost their fan base immediately. I like Reliant K though. You can tell they're a real Christian band because they had 3 guitar players, which means there was a buddy of theirs they just could not stand to kick out of the band.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, you could still play.
So the people, they received that news all right. They're like, and they said, you saved our lives. May it please the Lord, we will be servants to Pharaoh.
Well, yeah, like Daniel said, they wanted this.
These people, I don't know. It's just better be, you know, fed slaves, I guess, is what they're thinking. I guess they're thinking they're going to die if they don't become servants to Pharaoh, as they call it. But then the chapter takes like a, sorry, Adam, the chapter takes a turn again.
Yeah, go for it.
The end. Well, Joseph, he gets back to his dad, and his dad's dying. He's going to die. And I think he's actually a little bit older. But he has Joseph sit down beside him, and he needs him to promise something to him. And the only way you can promise something to somebody in the Bible every now and again is you got to get that hand underneath that thigh.
I'm so glad you got to slide that hand under the thigh.
You guys have run into that before, because I was giggling when you were reading it, and it didn't seem like too big of a reaction, but boy, this is a strange moment.
I believe it used to come along with a kiss, too. I could be wrong.
It happened.
Now, Dad, remember not to break my promise. Now, let me get under that thigh. And, all right, there we go.
This is a family tradition, yeah.
Yeah, I think it happened with Abraham and a servant boy, or like just some random boy.
Oh, yeah,
like,
the
who
one
was with him.
A servant who was never named, who went out on a quest to bring a wife back for Abraham's son, I think is what it was. And he was like, promise me you won't come back until you have like a wife as determined by God for my son.
And the only way he could promise was, again, get underneath that thigh.
I mean,
you know.
I'm just saying, 137 years old or whatever, that thigh meat's got to be soft, you know.
Oh, I'm not touching him.
No, you
don't. That's not good. All right,
now get under there, Junior.
My thing is, it's
yeah,
like,
really
do you
dig it in?
Are you? Is it like you're sitting right next to him and you slide your hand under the thigh?
I think he's lying on his back and he's got his arms wrapped behind his kneecaps.
He's lifting him up. All right, get under there now. Yeah, big promise.
I mean, I'm just saying, as far as handshake deals go, there's not much more personal than wiggling your hand between, I imagine it going between a chair and the thigh, and you wedge it under there, and you know you're right next to the person. And then if you betray that person,
give it a squeeze.
It's going to be hard.
you're gonna be dishonored. You're going to remember that thigh.
Uh-huh.
That's actually how Adam and I, when we decided to do the podcast, we made a promise to each other.
The agreement that you can never break.
My the tips of my fingers are still broken.
So the promise, essentially, Jacob wants him to bury him back in the tomb, in the tomb that he was. I mean, his whole family just chilling dead in that tomb.
Yeah, I think somewhere. So. Is that the one that they bought with the well, or like next to the well?
Oh yeah. That was the one where we first started getting really frustrated with the Bible repeating things, because there was about, oh my God, they repeated the deal of buying the cave like four or five times. It's like, so-and-so said he'd give him this money. Then so-and-so gave him that money. Then so-and-so said, I'm going to give you that money. And then
Daniel,
so-and-so.
That's good writing. It's good foreshadowing. It pays off just for this moment.
I mean, we remember that cave. We didn't forget about that cave, so it was a whole chapter about it. But.
What does Joseph do? Like, so it just kind of cuts, like, there's no mention of whether Joseph is doing well anymore, if he's popular. We do hear about Ramses, so I know we've got to be getting close to our boy Moses, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, spoiler alert, the next book is Exodus. And that's where a lot of the Moses stuff goes down, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of what we're ramping up to. Wow. Ramping up to some Moses.
And because Jacob doesn't actually die here, right?
No, it's the Bible. You need a whole chapter for someone's death.
So I guess that's it.
Got to draw that out.
That's the meat of the chapter. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that stood out to you guys?
I mean, not really. Let's be honest here.
No, you guys answered a question for me. I wondered going into this where this puts the Moses story, so it is after it. Okay.
Yes, I believe Exodus pretty much starts with it, but I could be wrong.
Well, it unfortunately starts, the Bible's got to catch you up to wherever all the families are.
Yeah, so there'll be a few chapters of lineages.
Is that Ridley Scott movie that came out a couple years ago where Christian Bale plays Moses? Is that called Exodus Gods and Monsters? Is that what I remember that as for some reason? Where would the monsters part of it come into play? That cannot be right.
The monsters is all about what they're packing, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's the mummies. You guys remember when the mummy franchise really ties into it. We got to get these Jews out of town and watch out for Imhotep. Oh, no.
I'm looking it up. Exodus Gods and Kings.
Gods and Kings. Okay. Thank God. I don't know where I was getting the monsters part from.
But I'm proud to announce that we've just started looking at the screenplay, doing a treatment for our new movie, Exodus: Gods and Monsters.
It's very Assassin's Creed-y, I would bet. There's probably a lot of ancient alien stuff at the end there.
Well, I watched something that had Gerard Butler or something, and it was literally like Transformers meets ancient Egypt. I can't remember. It was awful. And I think Monsters might have been in that title.
Gods of Egypt. That was it. That one, I think it's just Gods of Egypt. I love that one, Adam. That one is straight up like, Egypt is a planet. The Nile is the only water source that exists in it. You're like, whoa, this is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I mean, at some point, they're like in these like pharaoh suits that are mechanical, I think.
No, Iron Man suits. Yeah, absolutely. They can turn on their own Iron Man suits, fly into outer space. All stuff we've read in the Bible. Bring me back for when you guys do those chapters.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. So we have you lined up for the Iron Man, pharaoh suits, and also for the devil.
Yeah. For when Satan gets in the picture. When he gets his own Iron Man suit. Yeah. You know, those chapters are really good, too.
I think there's some stuff in Revelations that's not far from that. I can't wait until we're 60 and finally starting Revelation.
Does Satan's Iron Man suit, would it have a tail?
It would have to. And it would definitely do, like, damage. Like, it would be like a spiked, like a scorpion.
Yeah, I think it's a laser gun on the end of the tail.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Well, I was going to rate this chapter really high, but after imagining what it could have been with laser tails and Iron Man suits, I'm going to give this, you know what, I am. I'm going to give it a 4. Not based on anything except that here is a chapter where Joseph is making slaves out of everyone because he mismanaged his grain. and it's something I don't remember, doesn't get brought up a lot, that like
yeah, you got to break it down like that. The payoff is Joseph sells people. We learn he's not a great mathematician, and then his father Jacob is like, it's over, like it's game over for me. We'll talk about that in a bit. So I'd say pretty good chapter. I'd say like a 3.5 here.
Nice. You know what? I agree with the Colin there. And look, I love a good return of the thigh shake. Yeah. That's fun.
That's what I'm saying. I'm putting 4 out of 5 fingers under that thigh.
Well, hold on, Daniel. That is your Star Wars spec script that you wrote, Return of the Thigh. And it's good. It's really good.
It's all just Palpatine's skin sag on the throne.
Good, good. Put your hand under there, Vader. Good, good.
It's the real dark side. So, yeah, put me down for a 3.5. Whoever's keeping the logs.
Well, Colin, it has been such a delight to have you guesting on these past few episodes. We bring up your podcast even when you're not on sometimes. You guys do a really great job over there at Normies Like
Thank
Us.
Thank you, boys.
Where can the people find it, Colin?
I'm looking to turn some heathens into normies. Anywhere where you do your podcatchers, it's Normies Like Us. At Instagram, we're normies_like_us. I do a bunch of dumb comedy videos, too, with my partner, Joe, who's one of the hosts as well. I took a look at our Funny or Die page the other day. It is down, I'm sure, from inactivity. It is gone now. So if you guys really want to do some digging, go to his social medias, at Joe Asta. I'm sure he's got them posted somewhere. So do some digging, guys.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. Joe's going to get some notifications that I've been going through his Instagram feed and liking things.
They gotta be somewhere.
Well, dope.
Well, hell yeah.
You can find us, or you can email your complaints to hostedpod@gmail.com. You can find us hostedpod on Instagram, twitch.tv/hostedpod. Daniel, this is the year I'm gonna get the YouTube page really cooking too. Gotta get Schaefer's lightning hot videos up. So check us out on Yeah. No, we got a link to the YouTube channel somewhere. I don't think we have a custom URL.
No, keep linking to that. Keep linking to the Twitch page. I want to see you guys doing some Bible games on there, man. I'm telling you, bring me back for that.
You know, we used to play a lot of Bible board games in Sunday school. We should absolutely do some of those.
I can remember some of my songs. I'll help you out. And then Jesus rose to the sky and the water came down. What were all those together? All those weird.
I remember one about being a soldier in God's army.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the sword of God. I'm like, truly, if you like shot me in the back of the head right now, that stuff might be the only stuff that survives.
Ooh, it's fun.
Well, with that, on that note, everybody have a fantastic couple of days, and we'll see you again on Reading Heathens. Bye-bye. "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. Oh, wait, I don't think I mentioned in this re-recorded episode, Taking Us Out is a rendition of Amazing Grace by My Enemy's Blood, E-N-E-M-Y-Z-S, Blood. And man's got some pipes on him. This is a fantastic version.